The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
We're headed to a retreat talking about being centered, living a centered life. We started a little mini-series of teachings that I hope will point to this notion of living a centered life. We looked at repentance, we looked at worship, and we are looking today at patience. And as Dave said a few minutes ago, patience is not some wimpy, ephemeral, gossamer kind of milquetoast kind of a thing. Patience is powerful. And today's Psalm number 37, which I want you to turn to, we'll get there in just a minute, really has to do with having patience in the face of adversity, in the face of fretting. Anybody in the room other than me ever fret? Or let's say getting angry. Anybody in the room have an issue with anger sometimes? Well, this psalm talks about patience in the face of those things. And like last week's psalm, which situated our discussion in sort of the picture of spiritual warfare, there is a kind of warfare going on in this psalm as well, against the wicked. You see many times over and over in Psalm 37 this notion of the evildoer and the wicked and so on, as compared to those whose walk is blameless or those who are righteous. I want to start by reading just a couple of focus passages and then share with you a little something I'm reading in a book right now that I want to recommend to you. So look first of all at the first two verses of Psalm 37. Everybody there? It says, "Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong." Stop right there, which is easy to do, isn't it? You see the evil that seems to prosper around you. You see people who are cutting corners. You see people who are not doing the procedure the way you were taught to do it, and they seem to just go on and... Verse number two, "For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." The church father Augustine says that the wicked are like annual plants. They're going to die. Their roots don't go deep. But you have deep roots. They will soon die away. Skip down to verse number 7, would you? Our sort of focus verse for today. "Be still before the Lord and wait," what? "Patiently for him." And look, there it is again. Chris Alford, "Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." I want you to listen to this little portrait of life in the early church. In the 250s, we're talking about the year 250, okay, third century. Cyprian, the bishop of Carthage in North Africa, had a plateful of problems. Within the church, he was involved in conflicts with lapsed rich people, with confessors, and even with the church leaders. And outside the church, he and other Christians faced waves of hostility from the imperial authorities. And there was no one in the church or out of it who had not been seared by an epidemic that had terrified all of North Africa, killing innumerable people, talking about cholera outbreaks in the 300s. Some Christians were disheartened and losing hope. Others, having received violent treatment by their non-Christian neighbors, wanted revenge against people who had tormented them. The world seemed out of control. Can I get a witness up in here this morning? There's nothing new under the sun. Amid it all, Cyprian, as bishop, wanted to keep the Christians true to their tradition. We're talking the year 250, right? It's a very young tradition. This, at its heart, meant embodying the Christian good news, bearing it in their bodies and actions, living the message visibly and faithfully so that outsiders would see what the Christians were about and ideally would be attracted to join them. So in 256, Cyprian wrote a treatise of encouragement for his people. You know what the topic was? Patience. Beloved brethren, he wrote, we are philosophers not in words, but in deeds. We exhibit our wisdom not by our dress, but by truth. We know virtues by their practice, rather than through boasting of them. Listen to this. We do not speak great things, but we live them. We do not speak great things, but we live them. That must take some patience. The book that I'm reading that I want to tell you about is called The Patient Ferment of the Early Church. And the notion here is that above all, or particularly, patience is the thing that caused the church to grow in the first few hundred years, especially during time of persecution. The church grew exponentially in the first 300 years. I've seen figures that would astound you. Nobody's precisely sure. And the early church fathers seem to have written about patience more than anything else in terms of what the church ought to be. And the point that this person is making in this book is that the early church didn't have a scheme for outreach, and they didn't have a program for missions. And they didn't have chick tracks, and they didn't have the four spiritual laws or the Roman road. What they had was patience in the face of harsh adversity. Cyprian says, Christians should be visibly distinctive. How? By living the faith, by communicating it in deeds, and embodying patience. Let me say that again. Embodying patience. We're going to talk about how you might do that. Why patience? Why patience? Why not trust? Why not hope? Why not strength? Why not wisdom? Why patience? I have some ideas for you. You might want to put these down because we're going to look through Psalm 37 and find some examples, at least I think, that back these up. Are you ready? Why patience? Number one, it's rooted in God's character. Patience is rooted in God's character. God is patient. Why, just this morning, Marianne said that God has been patient with her. It took a lot of weeks and a lot of miles and a lot of walking. And she said about herself, I was slow, but God was patient. So look at Psalm 37, verses 12 and 13. Here's another contrast about the wicked and the righteous. Verse number 12, and see if you can identify with this. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. Have you ever had anybody gnash their teeth at you? Maybe not literally, but figuratively. I had a man come up to me after a worship service in another church, not this one, who was literally spitting mad, so angry that spit was coming out of his mouth and hitting my glasses. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth. I'm glad I had on glasses. And gnash their teeth at them. Look at this. But the Lord laughs at the wicked. Why? He knows their day is coming. It doesn't say that the Lord destroys them immediately, though he could. It says he laughs. Do you ever laugh in the face of adversity? Sometimes it's the only thing you can do. He knows their day is coming. Why patience? Because it's rooted in God's character. God is patient. So be imitators of God, therefore, and be patient because it's rooted in his character. Here's a second one. Patience is not in human control. Seems obvious, but think about it for a second. Patience is not in our own control. And that might be the number one reason why I'm so awful at it and need to cultivate it in my own life, because I want to control stuff. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're perfectly compliant before the Lord, but I want to control stuff. Patient people trust God, and they don't try to manipulate the outcome. I'm going to say that again. Patient people trust God, and they don't try to manipulate the outcome. I told you last week I was many years in ministry before I stopped having the first urge to pick up the phone to start trying to work a problem. And now I'm much more prone to go to prayer about it. Look at Psalm 37, 5 and 6. This notion about patience not being in human control. 5 and 6, it says this, commit your way to the Lord. trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Listen, sometimes justice takes some time. I'll bet that Susan Spann would tell us that sometimes it takes a while for stuff to work its way through the courts. That requires some patience. But patience is not in human control, and patient people trust God, and they don't try to manipulate the outcome. Listen to this quote from St. Augustine. He was asked, "Why should I wait patiently?" Here's his response. "Because God is able and trustworthy. You do not receive your reward yet, but that may be because you are not able to yet receive it." So he goes on to say, exert yourself in your labor, work in the vineyard, do what you're supposed to do, and then at the end of the day, come and ask for your wages. But right now, put yourself on the task and trust that God is trustworthy to do what he says he will do. That's the second one. Patience is not in human control. Here's a third one for you. Patience is not in a hurry. Oh, that seems so obvious. Now, thank you for these deep and meaningful insights. I could have listened to something on the radio this morning. But I want you to think about that business of hurry. Marva Dawn has a hymn text that says, "Come away from rush and hurry." Listen, our world is all about hurry. Patience is not about hurry. It's not in a hurry. Patient people live at a pace given by God. I'm going to say that again. Patient people live at a pace given by God. Maybe your metronome is set too high. You know what a metronome is? For you musicians, you know that it's something that sets tempo and it helps you, like when you're practicing. There was a little lick that I couldn't get. So I had to put a metronome on that. No. And I had to work it and work it and work it. But you know what? Sometimes my inner metronome is way too fast. And I'm given to believe, honestly, that if our inner metronome is set too fast and we can't play the lick, God might slow the metronome down so we can learn an important truth. Look at verses 23 and 24. I think this kind of shows that. 23 and 24. Patient Christians live at a pace given by God. Psalm 37, 23, 24 says, "If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand." You ought to circle that. Monday morning, hopefully, is going to come around in just a little while. Wouldn't it be great to look yourself in the mirror? Well, okay, maybe just have this written down by your bedside. "If the Lord delights in your way, he makes your steps firm. And though you stumble, you will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand." One other thought comes to mind. Sometimes going downhill is much harder than going uphill. And I'll bet you that our folks who just walk the Camino could tell you that. Tell me why. To not go faster than is safe. Patience is not in a hurry. And it might be that you need to slow the pace down and live at a pace directed by God. Why? Because though you stumble, you will not fall. Here's another one. Patience is unconventional. Now you think about that just for a second. The world says that patience is, well, maybe like something that Dave said a few minutes ago, kind of a wimpy, wispy thing. I had a pastor one time say, "You mustn't ever pray for patience." He said, "You ever hear the story about the woman who prayed for patience and God gave her a stupid maid?" Have you ever heard that story? And it's as if you pray for patience, then God's going to whack you with something in order to teach you. No, listen, I think we ought to pray for patience. And one of the reasons I think we ought to desperately pray for patience is because it's unconventional. Patience is a constitutive act because the world that we live in says fast and furious, right? So here's what I mean by patience is unconventional. It reorients your behavior. Think about that a second. Especially when it comes to wealth and power. Patience reorients your behavior. Here's an example. Look at verses 8 through 11. "Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. The world says, actually, let's rewrite that according to the world's translation. Immediately go to anger and turn to wrath and worry about everything. It will lead to you getting your way. Scripture says, no, refrain from it. Turn from it. Don't fret. It only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, a little while, a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the what? The meek. The meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Do you have peace in your life? It could be that you're not very patient. It could be that you're walking at a pace that's too fast for safety. It could be that you're living a conventional life rather than an unconventional one. Patience is unconventional. I got two more for you. Patience is not violent. That, by the way, is one of the most important ways, along with the one we just read, why patience was so powerful in the early church. Because the Christians in the early church were surrounded by violence. Heavens to Betsy, they were the victims of violence. Do you realize in the first 300 years of the church, there were something like 10 waves of persecution? And if you want to read some of the most amazing Christian testimonies of all time, you read some of these people who were praising God and being patient even when they were in the dungeon just before being brought up to the arena floor. Patience is not violent. There is a story, and the woman's name escapes me. If you know it, please help me. It's in the Book of Martyrs. Who she and a bunch of Christians were in the arena holding cells, and they brought them out to be eaten by lions, and they walked with great calm serenity to the place of execution. And there they waited patiently. They did not scream or curse at their captors like the other people had done, and they began to sing hymns of joy to the point where the crowd was moved. Patience isn't violent. It accepts injury without retaliation. Look at verses 37 and 38. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. But Chris, everybody around me is retaliating. Well, Psalm 37:37 says there's a future for the man of peace. Patience is not violent. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked, some translations say posterity of the wicked, will be cut off. Final one, patience is hopeful. Patience is hopeful. I said early on, why not go right away to hope or wisdom or peace? Have you noticed that patience produces all of those things? And now we're learning that patience is hopeful. It entrusts the future confidently to God. Look at verses 3 and 4. I'm resting confidently that God's got my future. Verses 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Trust in the Lord and look out for yourself at the same time. Is that what it says? Trust in the Lord and cover all your bases. Trust in the Lord and pick up the phone and make sure that that deacon knows what that woman said the other night at the potluck. No. It just says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. A dwelling takes time and patience. Yeah. And enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Do you have a desire in your heart today that doesn't seem to be coming about, or you're not even sure whether you and God are on the same page about that? I want to encourage you to be patient in it. One other little phrase from this book, please. See if there's anything about this that sounds familiar. Religion in the Roman Empire was huge, multifaceted, and unavoidable. It expressed itself in a myriad of situations, at home, in the forum, in the streets, in the arenas, at the baths, in places of beauty and in times of danger, on occasions of celebration and mourning. Religion in the Roman Empire was infinitely varied, constantly incorporating new gods and divinities, and almost infinitely tolerant. Almost. You know what it wasn't tolerant of? Why in such a world did Christianity attract converts? Why in the world would anybody want to become a Christian in that environment? Because they were patient. And they lived and moved and had their being embodying patience in a world that didn't understand it, believe in it, and there was something incredibly attractive about that. God's really telling me that I need to be patient. Last couple of weeks, some of you said, oh, Pastor Chris, that sermon, oh my gosh, that teaching, that was right for me. And this week, I've been asking God, why patience? What are we talking about patience for? And he said, you know what, that's for you. Maybe it was for you too. Let's close by looking at that quote on the back of the worship guide that Dave was talking about earlier. Talk about rich resources that you can take advantage of. Each week, a quote from the church fathers is carefully chosen, and we put it on the back of the worship guide for you to think about. It's an extended one. I'll read it. You follow along, okay? Also by Cyprian. So he's living in the mid-300s in North Africa in the middle of a pluralistic world where anything goes except Christianity. There's a cholera epidemic. The political scene is unbelievably upside down. The world is crazy and falling apart. Here's what he says. Let us stay alert and hold fast to Christ's patience, by which we can reach God. This patience, abundant and diverse, is not restrained by narrow limits nor confined by straight boundaries, but the virtue of patience is demonstrated widely, even though its fertility and liberality come from a single source. Patience both recommends us to God and preserves our relationship with Him. Here are the benefits of patience. It relieves anger, bridles the tongue, governs the mind, guards peace, rules discipline, and breaks the force of lust. It represses the violence of pride, extinguishes the fire of hostility, checks the power of the rich, and soothes the needs of the poor. Patience protects the blessed integrity of virgins and the careful purity of widows and those united under a single affection in marriage. It makes men humble in prosperity, brave in adversity, and gentle towards wrongs and disrespect. It teaches us to pardon quickly those who wrong us, and if we do wrong, to beg earnestly for forgiveness. It resists temptation, suffers persecutions, perfects passions and martyrdoms. Patience firmly strengthens the foundations of our faith and elevates our increasing hope. It directs our actions so that we hold fast to the way of Christ while walking by patience. While we imitate our Father's patience, we persevere as sons of God. I want to encourage you today that if you want to live a centered life, cultivate patience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm awful at patience. You know me. But I'm so glad that you've been patient with me. So because it is rooted in your character, and it's countercultural, and it's not in a hurry, and that it's hopeful, and that it avoids violence, Lord, I want to be more patient. Teach me that. Show me that. Help me to not walk at a pace more quickly than is safe, especially downhill. And I pray, Lord, that you will show us something in this series of living centered in our retreat and in our meditations on patience and repentance and worship that'll really, really help us to grow. Lord, I want our church to grow. Help me to be patient with understanding that you decide what that means. Help us to be patient with one another, Lord. That's sometimes really tough. And help us to grow deep and strong as believers who acknowledge that you are God and we aren't, and we will patiently trust and wait in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.